Welcome to Look Ahead Radio with Tom Arms and Lockwood Phillips.
Viewpoints on the talk station, FM 107, AM 1240. Well, from one hurricane to another. And of course, we're talking about the physical hurricane we've experienced meteorologically here in coastal North Carolina. We're going to talk about an economic and political hurricane taking place across the pond. We have joining us this afternoon, as we are all waiting with bated breath, Tom Arms of LookAheadNews.com and Look Ahead Radio here on Viewpoints Around the World. I'm looking forward to this conversation. We've got a lot to talk about today. As we always introduce Tom at the opening of the program with a question about the weather. And how's the weather in London?
Very autumnal. Now, oddly enough, you might be interested to know that Hurricane Dorian is hitting our shores.
Really?
Yes, it's hitting Scotland. It's bounced off Nova Scotia and scurried across the Atlantic, the North Atlantic. By the time it's reached Scotland, you know, it's a bit of a whimper. In like a lion in North Carolina.
Right.
Out like a pussycat in Scotland.
As a matter of fact, it was really interesting. A lot of activity in Scotland. We'll get into that in relationship to the Scottish Supreme Court. But real quickly on that topic, what impact is that having on the weather there in London? You say it's very autumnal. So we're in the fall season there. Clear skies, pleasant temperatures?
No, it's a bit overcast, but it's supposed to get nice again in the next week. You know, the temperatures now are sort of low 60s, supposed to be upper 60s, low 70s, starting tomorrow for about a week or 10 days. Looks like it could be a bit of an Indian summer, a bit too early to say. This time of year, it does start to get a bit cooler quite quickly. You get a few, you know, heavy storms, you know, heavy winds, knocking off the leaves and things like that.
But we're
definitely getting into autumn.
No, I was interested. I was watching a segment of Sky News last evening, Tom, and we won't get into this issue today, but the concerns apparently with boat people coming from across the pond, well, particularly the English Channel from France, and I was looking at some of the videos, and in some instances, the folks were dressed in I would call it warmer clothing for this time of year from our perspective here on the coast.
Well, it's very, very cold there on the channel.
Oh, it is? Okay.
Yes.
All right.
Yeah, out at sea, it's cold.
Okay. I just thought it was interesting. All right. Well, talking about the weather, I'm curious right out of the gate, the coverage of Hurricane Dorian, of course, we chatted about this last week in relationship to the anticipation of it coming ashore here in North Carolina, but the damage done in the Bahamas. A lot of interest in the hurricane, and of course there's been
a lot of interest. The focus has been more on the Bahamas.
Right.
The Bahamas, Alabama.
Oh, yes.
a lot of focus on Alabama and the Bahamas. Not so much focus on North Carolina or, around Norfolk and so forth around you.
All right.
There was a mention of Ocracoke Island.
Okay.
And the Outer Banks.
Wow.
But basically the heavy focus was on trying to evacuate and help people in the Bahamas.
No, I'm intrigued. I didn't even tease you with any question about North Carolina and particularly Ocracoke, which of course is part of our immediate market. So Ocracoke has been actually, regardless of the level of and the concentration of news, it has been mentioned.
Oh yes, it has been mentioned.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well,
basically, why did those people not leave?
Well, the vast majority of them are permanent residents. They've been through this before, and they're not going to leave. It's a commitment to the community and to the area. So that is fascinating. All right, Tom, let's talk about some other events here in the states. You mentioned Alabama. That, of course, is the famous Sharpie incident with the president, but other aspects associated with news here in the country. Let's talk about, I think, really a topic of issue, and we'll probably bring this up on several other occasions, the announcement and the confusion as to whether or not it was a matter of resignation or dismissal of John Bolton. And how is that being covered there in the UK and in the European community?
It's certainly headline news here. I mean, it's obviously not taking over the top headline, but it's very, very important. And they mentioned the fact, was he jumped? Was he pushed sort of thing? I don't think that is the important issue. It's whether or not there's going to be a change in policy.
Mm-hmm.
People here regard Bolton as a unilateralist, a hawk.
Right.
Who basically wanted America to act unilaterally in a rather hawkish way, towards countries like North Korea, Iran, Europe, and so forth. They tend to think of other members of the Trump administration, especially President Trump, as being not so much unilateralists as isolationists.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a question, here in Europe, neither one is really approved of. They see problems with both isolationism and unilateralism. What they want to see is a consensual alliance policy. And neither the isolationist or the unilateralist leads them in that direction. So they're waiting with bated breath to see who takes his place.
Right. Now, it was interesting. President Rouhani of Iran expressed support for the departure. I won't say dismissal, but the departure of John Bolton.
So did Putin.
Okay. So one wonders maybe he was actually an asset for the president. That's not perceived as such there in the European community?
No, I don't think, they regard him as too hawkish, too much of a unilateralist, that not only is he a unilateralist in terms of American policy, we will do whatever America wants, regardless of what everyone else wants, but America will do what I want. He was seen too much of a unilateralist within the administration. A bit of a loose cannon.
Okay, then what is the impression then of President Trump in this case? Are they impressed with this decision? That whether it was dismissal or resignation is immaterial. There was obviously a loss of relationship or trust, however you want to describe that. So I'm wondering what is the impact on President Trump on this?
It's neither good nor bad. As I said, they don't regard President Trump as being a positive either. One is regarded as primarily isolationist, mm-hmm. which is just as bad as being unilateralist. What is desired is someone who seeks a consensus. And they don't see that coming out of the U.S. administration at the moment.
Well, then let's talk about this in relationship to the potential efforts, related to the Camp David Accords, another event that, of course, took place at Camp David under President Carter's administration. But let's talk about this in relationship to the efforts on the part of the president to negotiate a peace arrangement with Afghanistan and the Taliban. How is that?
Yeah, covered? That's full of contradictions, actually.
How so?
I'm a bit confused about it because, allegedly, Bolton said, no, you can't have this meeting. It's sending the wrong message, especially having it at the same time as the 9/11 commemorations.
Mm-hmm.
And Trump saying, no, we've got to go ahead. I will talk to anybody. And then basically saying, no, I will not talk to the Taliban. The whole thing is dead and we're not talking anymore. Instead, I'm going to up our efforts against fighting the Taliban. It's very confusing messages coming out.
Well, the other aspect of it was the fact that there had been a bombing and took the lives of several hundred people. Well, I shouldn't say they've had several hundred people killed recently, but the fact that the president said there's no sense of trust with the Taliban.
But there's been bombings and killings for months and years. This is not an isolated incident.
No, but it was an effort supposedly that they would calm the situation down in anticipation of some serious talks.
But it never did calm down ever. It was a U.S. soldier that was killed,
right.
As I understand it. At least
correct.
That's how it's been reported over here.
That's
a
correct.
U.S. soldier that was killed. But it was, there have, it's the end of a long line of bombings and killings. They have not let up one iota during these negotiations.
The idea was that they would at least anticipate, the president apparently anticipated some calm for at least a week or so, and it did not happen. And of course, relatively on the eve of these negotiations, then we had the bombing. There's been some criticism of the president for even attempting to negotiate with the Taliban. What's the opinion there in the UK?
You know, I think it's being left pretty much to the U.S. I mean, it's a very difficult situation. 18 years.
All right.
I think everyone understands that 18 years is a long time, but at the same time, they don't want to leave a political vacuum into which a jihadist government will just go rushing in. It's a very, very difficult situation.
Yeah, well, you know, the other aspect of this, I'll tell you what, we're going to come back to this in a moment, right after this break. We're chatting with Tom Arms of LookAheadNews.com and LookAhead Radio. We're going to continue this conversation for a few more moments and get on to other issues as well. You're listening to Viewpoints Around the World.
Look Ahead Radio will return in just a moment. Welcome back to Look Ahead Radio. Here is Lockwood Phillips.
Viewpoints Around the World with Tom Arms of LookAheadNews.com and Look Ahead Radio. We're chatting with Tom. We're going to bring up the issue of 9/11 here in a moment, Tom, but we were talking about the Taliban and Afghan peace accord that the president was trying to broker. The other aspect of this, and this one that I'm wondering about, we have, in addition to some 13,000, I think is the number of military personnel committed to the Afghan theater, we have a large number of NATO military as well, and that, of course, coming from European community. What, again, is the opinion there in the European community associated with the Afghani events? It's hard. We used to call that Operation Enduring Freedom, OEF. What is the feeling there in the European community about that that entire conflict?
We are being very much led by the Americans on this. The Americans are taking the lead, and you'll find that all the NATO allies will support America on this. Now, you know, going back to 9/11, the reason why we're in Afghanistan is because of 9/11. The only time that Article 5, that's the mutual support, mutual alliance clause of the NATO treaty, has been enforced is as a result of 9/11. We're in Afghanistan because of NATO.
Right.
We're in Afghanistan because the Europeans said they would support the United States if it wanted to go into Afghanistan to fight the Taliban.
All right. Tom Arms of LookAheadNews.com and LookAhead Radio with us. Just want to make comment, Tom, that we're, of course, going to be recognizing the events of 9/11. And I think that this is an important event for us.
It's an important event over here. And you know, don't forget that a lot of the people who died in 9/11 were Europeans,
right?
Or Japanese.
Yes. And
the World Trade Center was very much an international building.
Well, now, real quickly, the topic of 9/11. Will there be any recognition of events there today? And of course, you're there now. We're morning time as we pre-record this program. You've been there. The 9/11 date has been well underway. You're well into the afternoon. What events have been taking place there with 9/11?
The events have been taking place. We had live TV coverage.
Okay.
The commemorations. Where people were reading off the names of those who died. And that was on all the news channels.
And does it still have the resonance? And one of the great frustrations that Ben Ball, the station manager, and I have, and we've discussed this with others, it's 18 years now into length, and it was a seminal event in my life for sure. And I would say nationally and internationally, does it have the same resonance as it did 10, 15 years ago?
Obviously, it doesn't have the same resonance as it does for Americans because it occurred on American soil. But it certainly is marked here. It is taken note of, and people do remember it.
Tom, let's talk about the big story. And this has to do, and we'll get to, well, Trump and Scotland a little later on. But let's talk about Brexit, because I think this is going to take a few minutes. I read with interest this morning that apparently the Scottish Supreme Court has said that, and I saw that where the Prime Minister wants to shut Parliament down, if I understand that correctly.
And he has shut Parliament down.
What does that mean?
He suspended Parliament.
How do you suspend?
Basically, Parliament now is suspended until the 14th of October, or was suspended till the 14th of October, so that it could not discuss Brexit. That was the Prime Minister says that was not the purpose of his suspending Parliament. The court disagrees with him and says that he obviously did suspend it for that reason, mm-hmm. and he did so unlawfully. And therefore, in the view of the Scottish court, or the Scottish Supreme Court, Parliament has not been suspended because it has been unlawfully suspended. Therefore, the suspension is null and void.
Okay, now here's the problem. Scotland, what impact, influence does the Scottish Supreme Court have on,
It's a bit like a federal court in the States.
Okay.
Not exactly the same, but if we go back to say talking about Trump's Muslim ban, mm-hmm. where you initially had some of the district courts and the federal courts basically ruling against the administration, and so he had to back off imposing his so-called Muslim ban, but the Supreme Court eventually decided in favor. But
I was able
to decide in favor. The ruling of the lower court held.
Okay, I've got to immediately interrupt this thought because I've got to go back to a fact. The fact was the president was recognizing six countries.
I said that so-called.
It's a meme that has.
Just a meme is a shorthand.
It's incorrect. And what happens is the public tends to hang on to that. It was six countries that he was quarantining for all intents and purposes. But okay, back to the issue of how I wanted to get my 2 cents in on this one. My question is related to the issue of Brexit. So what influence will the Scottish Supreme Court have on Parliament? Will Parliament just then simply go back to operations?
As soon as the decision came through, several members of Parliament actually returned to Parliament, took up their seats, and started taking selfies of themselves sitting in Parliament. But the problem is that they don't have an agenda. You know, this has never happened before. You know, we're in totally uncharted waters.
Amazing.
When Parliament is suspended, before it's suspended, all legislation is either enacted or dropped to be brought up again at a later date or, just dropped completely.
Uh-huh.
So there are no order papers for them to discuss. They also did manage to get through the legislation saying that, the Prime Minister cannot negotiate anything other than a deal, with the EU, that he cannot push through a no deal legislation. So, in a sense, the threat of suspending Parliament forced Parliament to get through a lot of the things which Johnson was hoping that he could get them to block, or he could block.
Uh-huh.
But as a matter of principle, the idea that the Prime Minister can basically twist the Constitution to suspend Parliament, that does not sit well with a lot of people here, and it certainly doesn't sit well with the Parliament. And I think it's creating a constitutional crisis. There's also the issue of whether or not Boris Johnson misled the Queen.
Mm.
Because technically speaking, it's the Queen who suspends Parliament.
Uh-huh.
She acts on the advice of the Prime Minister, but she's the one who suspends it. So he would give her advice and tell her why he wants to suspend it if he gave her advice which was contrary to the law,
mm-hmm.
then the Queen was given false advice and lied to by her Prime Minister.
Okay.
That is a resignation offense.
Okay.
In fact, it could even be illegal and a prison offense.
That was the next question. There's the talk of the Prime Minister going to prison. And, of course, if he's in prison, can Parliament meet? So it's two questions there.
Yes, it's not the Prime Minister who calls Parliament. It's the Speaker, who, okay. of course, has just resigned.
Okay.
it's a real dog's dinner here. But his resignation does not take effect until the 31st of October. No, there's a real question. The prime minister could go to prison. They're saying that he is saying, I don't care what parliament says. I will not ask for an extension beyond the 31st of October. I will not ask for an extension to negotiate a deal. He's saying that I just simply refuse to do it, whether parliament orders me to do it or not. And parliament and all the constitutional experts are saying, I'm sorry, but you have to do what parliament says. Wow. And if you don't, you will end up in court. And if you end up in court, you could be found guilty of contempt of court. And if you're found guilty of contempt of court, you go to jail.
Tom Arms of LookAheadNews.com and Look Ahead Radio with us this afternoon. And I just want to warn the audience, there will be a written exam later this evening on what we've just learned.
I want to ask you something, Lockwood.
Okay.
And that is that President Trump has publicly backed Boris Johnson, said he's a man he can get on with, and more or less endorsed him during the election campaign, the Conservative Party election campaign. What impact would that endorsement have on President Trump?
All right. We're going to take a quick break on that question. I'm going to come back with, after a long period of thought, I'm going to give an answer to that. You're listening to Viewpoints Around the World with Tom Arms of LookAheadNews.com and Look Ahead Radio. Stay tuned for my response.
Look Ahead Radio will return in just a moment. Now return to Look Ahead Radio. Here is Lockwood Phillips.
Viewpoints Around the World with Tom Arms of LookAheadNews.com and Look Ahead Radio with us this afternoon. We're chatting about a variety of things. Tom just asked a question associated with Brexit. And Tom, I'm going to give you one more chance to reframe that question as for the audience, those who might have missed it.
Well, basically, Trump has endorsed the British Prime Minister Boris Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
He's tacked his flag to Johnson's mast, if you like, in a very strong way. What impact will this have on Trump and his re-election chances and how people view him in the States?
Oddly enough, it will have have any reaction for two reasons. One, as you were just sharing with us a few moments ago, the whole issue of Brexit, the complexity of it, and I'm not just talking about the political complexity, but the economic complexity, something that we don't really comprehend, and I say I don't comprehend. I should be careful about speaking for the audience at writ large, but I don't fully comprehend. Doesn't strike me as something that's significant. It just shows that the president is a capitalist.
But the man who Trump supported, who he backed, is in prison or could be in prison.
And in prison for, if you will, political reasons. He will be a political prisoner. Maybe we will provide him a refugee status.
You're sending a hostage negotiation.
Might work in that regard. But the point of the matter is, it's not something that resonates with the audience. And quite frankly, you know, even my interest in conversation with you is high dudgeon in the sense that it's kind of humorous. I'm kind of confused. I'm trying to, engage and understand what's going on there in the European community. We comprehend the overall concept of the European Union, but the relationship that the UK has always had with the European Union has been something of a conundrum for me, because you use the pound, you use the inch and the a pint and quarts. The European Union is all on the metric system, has its own currency. I know that they have this transactional arrangement between the pound and the euro. The issue of the topics of products coming across the border. Those are things that we kind of comprehend. But generally, from the political perspective, Tom, it's a non-starter for us. And I'll say this real quickly. Anyone listening to the program would like to make a comment, please do so, because this portion has been pre-recorded, at viewpointsradio@hotmail.com. Viewpointsradio@hotmail.com. Or if you wish, on our Facebook page at Viewpoints on the Talk Station. Tom, back to you. Do you think that this would have any relationship to the...
I think the world is getting much smaller.
It is. It is.
And I think that things that happen in Hungary,
uh-huh,
with a populist leader there, things that are happening in Italy, things that are happening in France, do have an impact elsewhere in the world.
They do.
And it makes people think, Ah, if he did something wrong, is so-and-so doing something wrong? Or if he did something right, is so-and-so doing something right?
Well,
we're much smaller world. We're much more interconnected world. We may not want to be, but the reality is that we are.
That's true. Tom Arms of LookAheadNews.com and LookAhead Radio. Let's move very quickly into that smaller world for a few minutes here, Tom. Let's start with the issue of President Putin in Russia having apparently problems after a Moscow election, speaking of politics.
He seems to be he just narrowly won the elections in Moscow. The reason he did was he managed to stop the major opposition figures from putting up any candidates. The only ones who really challenged him in Moscow were the independents and the communists, who he allowed to run. Now, this begs the question, what's going to happen? Well, he's starting to show signs of cracking. Or his United Russia Party is starting to show signs of cracking. And they're not winning 80% of the vote like they used to. Now, bear in mind, they did do well in local elections elsewhere in the country, but not in the heartland, which is Moscow. And a lot of people are saying, this could be the beginning of the end of the United Russia Party. I think that's a bit strong. I think it could be the beginning of a harder crackdown.
Okay.
Political crackdown by Putin.
All right. Here's another question for you, and we'll move on to other items because I want to talk about France and repairing diplomatic relations with Moscow and President Putin. But you know what's interesting, Tom, and I'm curious about this. President Putin, last time I checked, is mortal. Which is to say that, well, he will not be.
But very fit.
It doesn't matter. He is still mortal. In a period of time, he will be off the stage, either literally or, figuratively, but he'll be off the stage. The question is, who's going to pick up the mantle? And
I was discussing this. I have lunch every day with a couple of diplomats before before I go on air. And we discussed this, and this very issue came up. And there is nobody in the wings at the moment.
Wow. And is it the oligarchs that are behind the president?
The oligarchs are very much behind the president because they're getting a lot of money.
Right.
But the oligarchs are not really political.
Okay.
They're all business people.
All right.
They own the oil and the gas and the diamonds and the gold and things like that.
You said a few moments ago, and I think it actually applies. The world is getting smaller, so we need to be aware of where this proverbial train is headed. I want to move on to a few other items. We're running short on time here. Tom Arms of LookAheadNews.com, and of course, LookAheadNews.com and LookAhead Radio as well. A quick question for you, Tom. The issue of France. You've got a note here hinting at repairing diplomatic bridges with Moscow.
I thought this was interesting because, of course, President Trump wants to repair diplomatic bridges with Moscow and is talking about doing something about sanctions over Ukraine and bringing Moscow back into the G7/G8 summit meetings.
Right.
The French are making noises that they might support that. Of course, France has always had that sort of relationship with Moscow. It's a sort of geopolitical relationship over the years, centuries even. That the French have seen the Russians as part of a geopolitical balancing act. Under de Gaulle, they were very keen to have good relations, but at an arm's length with Moscow. And I think Macron is moving in that direction as well.
Okay. There is also, I would like to point out, an historical relationship with France because some of the communist philosophers spent a good portion of time in France, one of them being Karl Marx, if I'm not mistaken. So there is sort of, I'm making a connection that probably...
Well, Marx was sort of Anglo-German, really.
Yes, he was, but he spent a good portion of his time. He was kicked out of Germany, as I recall, and he spent a good portion...
He went to England.
England and then France, yes, that's correct. All right, Tom Arms with us this afternoon. Tom, let's talk about another item. Nigeria, and I see this, booting out South Africa?
Well, it's actually the other way around. South Africans booting out Nigeria.
Oh, okay.
Basically, you've had a lot of anti-immigrant riots in South Africa in the last week or so. there's very, very high unemployment in South Africa. The thing is, it's, I think, 29% unemployment in South Africa.
Wow.
When Mandela took over, the unemployment rate was just over 10%. I think it was 12%. So, you know, people in South Africa are beginning to regard foreigners as people who are stealing their jobs.
Uh-huh.
They've had riots. They've had people killed. The Nigerians are repatriating people from South Africa back to Nigeria. 600 have left on a plane today. And it's a bit of a mess in South Africa. The problem is that South Africa is, even though it has a very high unemployment rate, it is one of the engines and remains one of the economic engines
for the
of Africa.
Right.
And it has traditionally been a country where people from the neighboring countries come to find employment. Mainly other southern African countries like Zimbabwe, Angola, Namibia, Mozambique.
Okay.
And mainly in the gold mines and the diamond mines and places like that.
Okay. I want to move on, but real quickly, is this something we should pay close attention to?
Yes, okay. Absolutely.
All right.
Because you know, if Africa is going to progress at all, Nigeria and South Africa have to have good relations. They are the two engines of growth in Africa.
Okay, that's important because, and we won't belabor this, but China has great interest, as does Russia, but China has significant interest in the African continent. Let's move on to Colombian Civil War, because I do want to talk about Scotland and President Trump very quickly. Colombian Civil War, what's the status there?
Well, the FARC guerrillas have gone back into the field. After 3 years of peace, they've had not, when they signed peace treaty, not all the FARC guerrillas actually turned in their weapons. About 2,000 stayed in the field.
Okay.
A lot of them joined another organization called the ELF. In the course of those 3 years, in the past year, roughly 500 of these guerrillas have been killed by government sources.
So,
and the old FARC leadership saying this is unacceptable. So they are turning their back on peaceful politics and going back into the field.
Okay.
With the result, the government has put a reward on the heads of the FARC leadership of about $822,000 each.
Wow.
But basically, we're going to have a renewal of the civil war in Colombia.
Very interesting story. We're not getting a lot of information on that right now, but then our focus is on a variety of other items. Let's wrap it up with a very quick note on Trump and Scotland.
Oh, yes.
President Trump.
Prestwick Airport.
Yes.
And his Turnberry Golf Course.
Mm-hmm.
That has gotten a lot of coverage here. The idea that the Department of Defense, the Air Force, is basically using loss-making Prestwick Airport to refuel their planes. And, of course, the loss-making Prestwick Airport is also an essential part of the transport strategy for Trump's loss-making Turnberry Golf Resort.
Right.
That people fly into the golf resort via Prestwick Airport. And so he can't afford to have that airport close. And on top of that, apparently, various Air Force officers are being offered free rounds of golf, U.S. Air Force officers, free rounds of golf and free accommodation at the Trump golf course.
What a generous contribution on the part of the organization. We can't say that the president has anything to do with it, because I don't think he does, but his organization, given the company, a very generous contribution on their part. We'll leave it at that. I had to throw that quick curve in there with you, Tom. Tom Arms of LookAheadNews.com and Look Ahead Radio. We're going to take a quick break, come back. We've got two important stories. We're going to get a follow-up on Maurice the Rooster, because there was a court case in which the rooster was the defendant, as I understand.
Yes.
And then we've got another interesting story related to insect restaurants. Stay tuned for more here, a lot more, with Tom Arms of LookAheadNews.com and Look Ahead Radio here on Viewpoints Around the World.
Look Ahead Radio will return in just a moment. Welcome back to Look Ahead Radio. Here is Lockwood Phillips.
Viewpoints around the world with Tom Arms of LookAheadNews.com and Look Ahead Radio. Joining us from London, England, and I do want to make mention this portion of the program has, in fact, been pre-recorded to accommodate his sleeping schedule since it's some 5 hours later in the day for him, almost going on 11 o'clock, well, midnight, pardon me, there in London. Tom, we've got two stories here to wrap up the afternoon. One that was very quizzical. I did see stories about it after our conversation. That's why I always enjoy talking with you on Wednesdays, because the stories we talk about today become the stories that are appearing in the news and in the papers day or two later. So having this prescient knowledge is always helpful. Maurice the Rooster, share with us that story and the conclusion.
He's crowing happily. He's been found not guilty. He's been saved from the guillotine. He won his case. Cock-a-doodle-doo!
Because he was crowing proudly at, oh, dark 30 in the morning, 4:30 or so in the morning?
Yeah, 4:30 in the morning. And he's allowed to continue crowing at 4:30 in the morning. Those city dwellers would just have to return to North Carolina.
Or buy earplugs, something of that nature. Better insulation in their homes or bedrooms or wherever they are resting. This is a fascinating story. Did that get much play?
Yes, it did. It got play. It got play on the TV news. I mean, it was a good, funny but serious story. And, you know, the conflict between the town and country folk, right, which is always there. But at the same time, it had a humorous angle to it.
Okay, well, now let's move on to the next item as we wrap it up with you this afternoon. The rise of insect restaurants.
They're crawling out of the woodwork.
Oh, pardon the pun. Continue.
Yeah, all over the place. I just saw one set up in South Africa, so I thought I'd do a search. There are, I think, 27 in the U.S.,
insect
There's
restaurants.
Seven in London alone.
Oh.
I think six in New York. I just thought I'd read off some of the recipes.
Okay.
Chocolate chip crickets.
Mmm.
Bee larvae sandwiches.
Mmm.
Root worm beetle dip. Grass. Worm bread.
Oh,
caramel apples with deep fried worms. Perfect for Halloween, I think.
I can imagine. All right. The rise of...
Stop drooling. Stop drooling, Lockwood.
We're going to have to... We have a cuisine school, a school of cuisine here in our market. We're just going to have to see if we can incorporate that in their diets as well. Tom Arms of LookAheadNews.com and LookAhead Radio. Growing interest in insects, huh?
That's it.
High in protein.
And they're supposed to be good for you. Rich in protein.
Protein, yes, yes. Tom, as always, I look forward to hearing that crunchy noise next week while you're chewing down on... what was that first item again?
I think I'll go for the chocolate-covered crickets.
Okay, chocolate-covered crickets.
Deep fried.
Okay, well, you know, fried food's not always good. We'll have to check on that. Tom, as always, thank you for being with us. We appreciate your time.
Thank you, Lockwood.
Viewpoints around the world with Tom Arms of LookAheadNews.com and Look Ahead Radio.
Look Ahead Radio is a production of The Talk Station.